Turn to Song of Solomon, please, just for our message tonight on love. Love. Could you turn to your neighbor and tell them everything you know about love right now? You got about 40 seconds. is a long time for me. I could ask my wife over here, how long would it take me to talk about love, Lisa? What? No. Okay. Here's one sentence. God is love, right? Love. God is love. We just worship. Song of Solomon, verse 1, chapter 1, the Song of Songs. There's a song of deliverance, song of peace. There's a song of war, song of happiness, song of depression. There's melancholic songs. There's songs of a great artistic value. There are songs of history. There's all kinds of songs, but this song is a song of all songs because it's a song of love. The greatest thing in the world is love. God is love. And we are here because of love. Verse 1 says, it is Solomon's song. And didn't he write, how many Proverbs did he write? Was it 4,000? And how many songs did he write? And how much did he know? He knew about everything, history, science, geography, was the wisest man that had ever lived up to the time of Christ. And Christ said he was wiser. Jesus was wiser than Solomon. But Solomon was so gifted and so knowledgeable. But the greatest song is the song of love. Verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. If you put God in this poem, this story, this narrative, this song, and you know that Jesus Christ is the bridegroom and you are the bride, then you can consider him kissing you with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, verse 3, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Just to say his name is like perfume that is poured out. Therefore do the virgins love thee. His integrity, his love, his care, his character, his nature. God loves. God is love. Draw me, verse 4. Then usually I write down these two words. People are pulled. Some people are pushed. Some people are driven, but he draws us. He cannot force us because there must be freedom in love. You know, you can't force a woman to love a man. She has to be drawn to that, and vice versa. It can't be forced on people. And the same with God and people. We cannot force people to be believers. They must be drawn to God. Nobody can come to the Father except he draw him, John 6, 44. And we are drawn in the ministry. We are drawn by the life, by the freedom, by the joy, by the wisdom. We are drawn in our hearts. You know, when I think of Noah's Ark and Noah building the ark and then nobody coming, just his family, nobody coming on the ark. And I think of how people can be frozen in their mind and frozen in their anger and bitterness and frozen in their unbelief. But love draws us. And I might say, I'm very angry or I'm very upset with myself. But God says, I love you, and the love draws us, drawing us. The deep calls to the deep, Psalm 42, verse 7. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, and a man of understanding will draw it out, in Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Many times when we assemble, maybe I don't need somebody to preach a hard message to me. I need somebody to speak words that are going to draw me to the heart of God. Do you love me, God? And draw me. And draw me to your heart. At the Last Supper, all the disciples were there, but John had that unique position of putting his head on Jesus' bosom during the supper. And if you've been in the Middle East or you've been in other countries, maybe you see how affectionate people can be and how physically close they can be with each other as friends. And John wrote in his gospel, the disciple whom Jesus loved, when he referred to himself five times. He loves me. I hope you could have that in your heart also, that you would know that God draws you by love and speaks to you to get us out beyond ourselves. Remember the two things, reason, remember, and feelings is how people normally live, with reason and feelings. Let's be outside of Noah's ark and say, I'm not going into that ark. I'm not going there. That guy is crazy. Noah is nuts. But I cannot believe that somebody on the outside couldn't be drawn into the ark. The animals were drawn into the ark. By God. He drew the animals. Seems like maybe the animals knew more than the people. And that somehow that might sound right, actually. That fish might know better and birds might know better, but my people do not know me. The ass knows his master and the ox his master's crib, but my people are sick from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Isaiah 1. And verse 5 and 6. So now let's go to the drawing part. Just turn to, in the same book, to chapter 2, in verse, let's go to verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. You know, you could have a banqueting house and the banner over the house is you know, Rambo with a machine gun in his arms. Over this banqueting house is the, you know, NFL Super Bowl. Or over this house, there's a banner over this house and its sentimentality or emotionalism. Or the banner over this house is some rock and roll event or something, or a chess club over here, or a library over there, or an ideology over here, or a religion over there. But over our house is love, I hope. Romans 5:5 says it is, because out of our hearts goes love. How did you get it? By believing in Jesus And we are like the Father. And the Father sent the Son so that we could be like the Son and that we would have love. And when Jesus was said to the disciples, love one another as I have loved you, so they will know that the Father sent me. It's good. Verse 5, stay me with, I'll put, it says flagons, bottles, comfort me with apples. I am sick of love. I'm at this party in this house, and over the house is love, and it's affecting me. I'm getting it. I'm sick of love, and this is a good meaning. I'm getting affected by it. It's starting to control my life. Love is starting to become like very important to me in my heart. Words of love, spirit of love, attitude of love, living by faith in God. God is love. God loves you. And then it goes on to verse 8. It says, six, his left hand is under my head and his right hand does embrace me. I can't do that. I've got to be a contortionist. But let's see, his left hand is under my head, and then he embraces around my waist, you know, that this kind of position. She has total her weight and her head, and her whole being is being supported by him. Is the hand of God under your head? Is the hand of God holding up your life? Is the love of God in control of your life? Is the love of God going to guide you unto death? Psalm 48. It is. Is God going to speak to you and draw you and love you? Next verse, 7. I love this part. I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field. Hinds, the roes, the deer of the field. I charge you by those animals. Now back to that out before I think, because we have deer in our neighborhood, and they're very fascinating creatures. They are very kind of sensitive. They're light on their feet, and they stop. And when they freeze, and they just look straight at you without moving anything, nothing. But they're very timid. And it seems like they're trying to, they don't know what to do. They're just kind of frozen like that, and they don't know. Like, am I in danger? Am I free? And then, you know, then they move. It's like fascinating. You almost like love them. You kind of feel like, wow, these are mysterious creatures. They want a relationship, but they're very timid. Like, they want to see you, study you, look at you, and then they feel the fear, or they feel that this kind of dangerous, and then they take off. I think it's a good picture of people. People look at you like they want you, but they're afraid of you. Let them be, it says in the song. Let them be. Let them have freedom. Let them be. I will draw them. Look at the next part. It says, stir the part B of the, nor awake my, that you stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. Like, watch this. Jesus is there, and there's a person like a deer, and they're looking at Jesus, and they want Jesus, but they're afraid of Jesus. And they take off. And Jesus said, let them be. Let them run. Don't stir them up till they please. Like, let them be free. I will draw them with my love. I will hang on a cross. And when they look at me and they study and they kind of feel the security of my love for them, they may come to me. But I cannot force them. I will draw them by my nature, my character, my faithfulness. It's a good picture, isn't it? I wish I had a pictures of the deer that, you know, I mean, you can see it, and I think you get the idea. Let them go. How long, Lord? Let them go for another year. They will come back, and they will look at me and stare at me and be frozen and wonder. Let them be. I will work my work. I'll draw them. I will love them. 1 year later, 2 years, many years later, I have a plan. I can draw them. I will use you like Noah was there with the ark. And please come. And I can just see people being afraid and people kind of getting being emotional and blinded. And some people just staring at the ark like a deer, just kind of staring. And then they get nervous and they run away. And they don't know what it is. They don't know why it is there. They don't understand it. And God is in it. God is in it. God is in the church. God is in the preaching. God is in the evangelism. God is in your neighborhood. God has planted you in your family. God has put your household in the midst of a dark and troubled world that is sick and hurting and in trouble. God has put us here. And then the next one, it relates to this, verse 8, the voice of my beloved. The voice of my beloved. Where's the voice coming from? My beloved is speaking to my heart. I'm reading my Bible, and it's speaking to my heart. I'm reading it again. Sometimes you may read it and not get much from the Bible, but please keep reading your Bible and just keep reading it prayerfully. And then talk with somebody about it and have a little bit of fellowship with somebody from the Bible. And it's the voice of my beloved. And he's saying, come away in verse 8. He comes leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. Leaping on the mountains of reason, skipping upon the hills of feelings. The voice of God is skipping and leaping and going beyond our troubled selves, going beyond our unbelief, going beyond our emotions, going beyond our personal trouble and discouragements and broken hearts. God is skipping and leaping. The voice of God is skipping and leaping on the mountains and the hills because He is love. Love is bigger than our pain. Love is bigger than our hurt. Love is bigger than ourselves. Then verse 9. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he stands behind our wall. Behind our wall. What wall? Ask Noah. Noah's on the ark. The people are outside. And just say, Noah, where are all the people? He say, they're standing behind the wall. What wall? They're behind the wall of unbelief, the wall of fear. They're behind the Baltimore City wall. They're behind the wall of recklessness or lawlessness or murder or drug addiction. They're behind the wall. Yeah, but God, if they're behind the wall, how could they ever get out? How could they be free? How can they get over? My voice is skipping on the mountains and on the hills. And then he says this, verse 9, he says, he looks forth at the windows because the wall has windows in it, showing himself through the lattice. You know what a lattice is, right? Let's see. Here's a 8 foot by 4 foot Home Depot garden. And you know how it goes. This is the lattice that's in your garden. And where is God? He's behind it. And you can't, you know, he kind of flashes by. In the universe, he flashes by. Remember Halley's Comet? You know, I think I've mentioned it here. Halley was one of Newton's, Sir Isaac Newton, fellow mathematician. And Halley saw the comet and he figured out the year it would return. Wasn't it 72 years later that this comet that he saw one time, he said it's going to return on this date. And he got it right, so they called it Halley's Comet. What does that mean? There's order to the universe, and one wise man was smart enough to figure it out. That's like God behind the lattice. Have you seen God? Oh, I think I saw him. I think I saw him. It's okay. Verse 9. He showed himself through the lattice. Then my beloved spake, verse 10, and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away from behind the wall. Come away. Come on. Let's go. Come on. You've been here too long. Let's go. God said that to the Jews in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, you've been at this mountain long enough. You've been here too long. Let's go. And they moved on. You know, sometimes we do get stuck in life, but love draws us. And I'm just saying to you and myself tonight, that learn to be very quiet before God and learn to look for him. Because he's behind the lattice. He's behind the wall. See him through the window? I caught a glimpse. There he was. Be careful not to freeze God out and become like bitter or unhappy or angry, but instead hear the voice of love and let the love draw you from behind the wall and get you onto Noah's Ark. Well, we don't have Noah's Ark. Well, we've got Jesus. And follow Jesus. I have. But have you skipped? Have you gotten beyond? Have you seen him through the lattice? The world of unbelief, the world of reason, and the world of feelings? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to just draw you to his heart? And understand that God loves you, and there's nothing on this earth that is greater than that love. That love will never fail. That love will grow in you. It'll develop you. It will help you. It'll open up your heart and your mind, and you'll become a believer that God is able. I can be healed with my trouble, and I can be helped and guided and led, and he'll take care of me all the days of my life. I just want to believe that. And you know, there might be a time when it's coming in our lives where there could be a huge challenge. But tonight, please, remember there is a song that is the song of all songs. The song of songs. That's the song that we're to sing. That's the song that I want. There are many songs there are many in the Bible. Elizabeth had one, Mary had one, Hannah had one, Miriam had one at the Red Sea. There are many songs, but this is the song that is the most important and the greatest of them all. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, thank you for this rich fellowship of joy tonight in this house of love. Your banner over us is love, and we are geared for that. We are prepared for that. We respond to that. We want it. Help us all, Lord, in it. in this love that will forgive 70 times, 7 times in a day. This love that will believe God no matter what happens. This love that will forgive our enemies and ourselves. This love that will believe you for our future. This love that will heal us of all our wounds. This love that will get us on the Ark of Noah. This love that will visit us in the prison cell with the Apostle Paul. This love that will go to the end of the world. This love that will not make evaluations in our reasoning, but it will make evaluation based on love. And bless our church in this and each one of us tonight in your name. Amen. Anyone not believing in Jesus, this is an invitation to come to Jesus tonight by faith. If you're listening on the internet, come to Jesus by faith. And then we'll have a wrap tonight after this on this subject of love tonight in your name, Lord. Thank you. Amen.